Today's topic is authentic networking, and I wanted to share some of the things I've learned about natural networking for me that works much better than the kind of ways you hear about a lot or the stereotypes you have in your mind. So let's see, if you guys do need to mute your phones, you can just use star six and star six will take it off. And I'm recording the call, so if you guys want a copy of it later on, I can give you that. So let's start. I wanted to start with a story to see if this sounds, if this is relates to anything you've experienced in your networking life. One time when I was early in my career, I was trying to change jobs from a company that was focused kind of all over the country to one that was focused here in Charlotte where I live. And I really wanted to get a job in sales. And so I went to this meeting of a local entrepreneurs group, and they had this speaker there who's a guy named Jeffrey Gittimer, who's real famous now. He's a big – he writes a lot on sales, and his books are everywhere. And he's actually based here in Charlotte. So I walk in, you know, and I go to the table and sign up, and I get in there, and I didn't know anybody in the whole room, and I'm just kind of standing there with my little plate of cheese and my little cup of punch or whatever. Trying to figure out how to break into one of these conversations that everybody else is doing, you know. And finally, I saw somebody I know, but basically, I wasn't meeting many people, and I was just feeling more and more nervous about being there. So, so we sat through the talk, and it was really good. And I thought, okay, afterwards, I'm gonna, you know, buck up my courage, and I'm gonna go talk to this guy Jeffrey Gittimer, and maybe that'll make a connection. So I, you know, I'm a little bit nervous, and I walk up to him, and I said, hey, you know, I love your talk. And he asked me who I was and what I did. And then he just kind of like, it was just like he totally blew me off, and he just walked on to the next thing. And I was sitting there going, oh God, I'm such a loser. I can't even make a connection with this guy. And I came down here for everything, and I haven't met anybody, and I'm feeling worse than I did even when I came in. So if you guys have ever had, like, does that feel like networking to you guys, or what you think of as networking?
I've had that experience.
Yeah, this is Ed Short. That's very similar to what it appears to me most people mean by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You hear a lot about the
calculated development of utilitarian relationships, which
right. Yeah, it's like trying to pick up a girl in a bar. You know, it's like you come in and you're trying to do something really quickly that normally should take a longer time, and it's very transactional. It's like, you know, you just want to get their card or how many cards you can get, and to me it felt artificial. So it didn't feel like authentic networking to me. And so you know, I was trying it because everybody, all the books say that, you know, they talk about how to work a room and do all that, and it seemed like that was sort of what you're quote unquote supposed to do. And because that just totally didn't work for me, you know, I thought, geez, I'm just never going to be able to network with people, and I'm never going to know how to do it. But what I didn't realize is that I really already knew how to network pretty well. I just didn't know that that's what it was. And so what I've learned is that real networking, authentic networking, is more like what happened on a call that I had this week, for example. And right now, in addition to doing my writing and speaking, I have a consulting business where I do marketing and sales consulting for high-tech companies. And so I was trying to reach some people who live in the RTP area here in North Carolina. And so I had a call on Wednesday, a phone call with a guy who I didn't know, who runs a small company in Raleigh. And we talked for an hour. We hit it off really well. It was a great call, even though I didn't know him. At the end of the call, he wrote two fantastic emails bragging on me to two people who were connected into the investment community in Raleigh. One of those guys wrote me right back, and I've got a call with him set up for next week. So, you know, here, that's beautiful, because now I'm clued into the best people where I want to be. I'm talking to exactly who I want to talk to, and I've got a new person now that I know. So how does that happen? That's what I really want to talk about tonight. And so I'll just continue on with that case. What happened there was that I'll just walk back from that meeting. So that meeting was with a guy named Aaron. So Aaron, I met through a person named John, and John was somebody that about 5 years ago when I was in between jobs. I did a consulting project for who lives up there. And I did a good job for him, and he remembered me. And even though I hadn't talked to him in a few years, when I sent him an email and said, "Hey, John, I'd like to connect with you and catch you up on what I'm doing," he was happy to talk to me. And so when John and I talked, I just said, "Hey, here's what I'm doing now. I'm doing consulting. I'm also writing this book. And do you know of anybody I should talk to in Raleigh?" So that's how I got to that. So how did I meet John? Well, you know, several years ago when I got to consulting with John, I was introduced to him by a guy here who ran a consulting practice. And I'd had a similar meeting with him because I was looking for work at the time. And the way I met him was through my old boss. So that's 1, 2, 3 degrees from somebody who I really know really well, who totally knows me and my work, to this guy. And my theory is that usually in a job search or a search where you're trying to generate business, you really are only about 3 degrees from people that you know really well and will be really comfortable talking to, like somebody you know in your community or your neighborhood or you go to church with or have worked with in the past, people who aren't strangers, but they're people that you have a relationship with already, and that you don't really need to do these big marketing events to get reach to the same numbers of types of people. So that's one thing. So let me stop and take some questions before I'll just rattle on if I keep going. What are you guys wondering about networking, or what are the biggest hurdles you have in networking or fears?
Yeah, this is Ed Short. Fear, I don't think, is the right word. If I had to boil it down, I think you can hear me, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. If I had to boil it down, is that networking to me is kind of the antithesis of what I normally do.
Okay, yeah.
And I really think if you have an approach that I would find useful, I think I'm one of the most extreme non-pathological cases you'll ever come across. So if what your approach works for me, it's going to work for a whole lot of people. And that's why I'm interested, is I, unless I have a specific business purpose that the other person's expecting, I almost never call anyone on the phone because it seems impolite. Stop what you're doing and pay attention to me now.
Okay. Yeah.
I love communicating by email. I have all sorts of live communications by email, but I very rarely call anyone cold on the phone simply because it seems to be something that, how do I even have an idea that it's welcome?
Right, sure.
You know, and beyond business, even in personal relationships, other people tend to stay in touch actively a lot more than I seem to. That just seems to be naturally how I do things. So I really do almost the inverse of the normal, you know, sales-type networking stuff. So I was intrigued when Patty said that you're taking an approach on this different from how most people do it. I really wanted to understand your perspective.
Right. Okay, so you said two really good things, I think, that are common perceptions about networking. One is that you need to cold call people, and that's a necessary part of doing it. And the other one is that you need to stay in touch. You need to kind of continually stay in touch with people to do that. And I think those are actually wrong. And certainly there are times you may need to cold call, and I've done that myself, but I've found it very, very ineffective every time I've used it, and not really worth my time. I've found my time much more better working through people that I know than through that. So let me talk about those two things real quick. So one of the things that you said, which I completely agree with, is that if you don't have a real reason to contact somebody, it's very difficult. I feel really bad too. If I don't have a good reason why I'm going to get in touch with somebody, then I feel like I'm going to be a kind of leeching off of them, or it seems kind of artificial, or you know, it feels forced or not right somehow. And so I completely understand that sense. So I think you know, one of the other components of this authentic approach is that you do need a reason. And you know, a lot of people, there's a famous book called Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty, or something like to that effect. I looked on Amazon. It's one of the top 15 networking books. And I think that works well for some kinds of people who just like to connect with people. But I also think that you have dug your well with a lot of people that you don't even know just by coming in contact with them or being friends with them or whatever else. And so what you do need to have is a clear sense of purpose of why you're doing this. So I don't seek people out just to meet them unless there's a real reason that I want to meet them. And it could be as simple as, you know, if it's in a personal realm or in a something related to my website or something, I might write somebody up and say, I really like your work. I'd like to learn more about it because I'm doing the same thing. But that's a legitimate reason to talk to somebody. You know, they're an expert. They could give me some feedback. So I agree. So that's another rule. Don't call people without a specific purpose in mind. So we can talk more about what those might be if you're interested. And then the other one is that I don't think that, you know, you need to like stay in touch. I think it helps if you do, especially if it's somebody you don't know that well. But at the same time, it's like if you're always sending emails to people and they're, you know, it's like the equivalent of the person who sends around the email jokes all the time. You know, sometimes it's funny, but after a while you just quit reading their emails because it's not really relevant to you. So I think it's more important to, when you've met that person, understand what they're working on and what's important to them, and then try to think of ways, if you do see something that would be helpful to them, give them that. So like one time when I was in college, I was looking at different things I could do after school and different kinds of grad school, and my dad knew a guy who was a professor at Georgia Tech in the engineering department, and so I wanted to find out more about that. And so he got us together, and he was a nice guy, and he told me I wanted to know what engineers did after they got out of work, and so he told me about what some of the people there did and what you know, what some of the people did at the institute he was, and it was helpful for me for sure. And we just had a nice conversation, and he was asking about what I'd done in school and the kind of things I'd worked on. And at some point along the way, he told me that he was a mechanical engineer, and he'd always wanted to know how they make the Coke cans, the aluminum Coke cans, because they're made out of one piece of metal, and he was always curious how that process worked. Well, I don't know, a month later, I was reading a Scientific American or something, and it turned out there was an article exactly on that topic. I couldn't believe it. So I Xeroxed a copy of it and mailed it to him, and he was so appreciative of that, you know. And I'm sure that even now, that was probably sometime in the mid-80s, I could probably get back in touch with that guy, and he would remember that I was the person who sent him that article. Or I could just say, hey, you helped me when I was looking at school. Can I catch you up on what I've done since then? So that's another way to do that. So I don't think you need to stay in touch. I think you can always go back to somebody that you've had a real authentic conversation with, especially somebody that where you offered something back, and you can get back together. So I think those are two myths. So, and then the other thing I wanted to say that is I think the most helpful for working through your nerves or getting yourself ready when you need to talk to somebody for the first time. And what works for me the best is to say, to really every meeting, even if it's a meeting where it is like I'm looking for a job and I need help from somebody, or I'm looking for more work and I need them to refer me or something, I always go in the mindset of how can I help this person? And I just keep myself focused on, you know, I'm here to help this person however I can. Now, so that means that if it's, I'm going to look them up on LinkedIn before I go, I'm going to see where they went to school, I'm going to see what they work on, I'm going to look at their company ahead of time, I'm going to prepare, and then I'm just going to think about, what do I know about that, or what's something interesting that I've done lately, or even what am I excited about right now outside of work or that I'm doing. And if the opportunity comes up in the conversation and there's anything I can do to give them an idea or some tip or somebody else I know, I will try to do that. And so that call I had on Wednesday what I did with that guy is, you know, I was telling him about what I'd done in my work before and the kinds of things I did, and he didn't really need me. It was clear. So what I did was I thought about, okay, what have I learned in my business? And so I gave him a contact at Nokia, and I gave him some tips about how I had approached a sales situation like he was in right now. And I really focused on, you know, this guy is like my client, and I'm going to give him everything I have right now. And he was really appreciative of that. And that's, you know, that's why he felt great about saying, this guy is really somebody who is valuable. He provided the value to me in this call. So that attitude of how can I help them will carry you through. And then you feel like it's really it's not so much of a imbalanced relationship where you're coming and begging for somebody's help. You know, you're coming in as an equal partner to them. And it's really like, hey, we're just meeting. Maybe there's ways we can help each other out. You know, so that helps for me. So ask some more questions, guys. Those are great, Ed. Somebody else join?
Hi, it's Rachel.
Hey, Rachel. Welcome.
Hey.
Okay, Rachel, you have to ask me a question. What is your worst part you hate the most about networking?
I don't know if you've covered this or not. I think it's the hardest thing is to kind of get started and then maybe call somebody that I haven't talked to for a long time. Like,
okay.
How do you approach like calling somebody just, you know, and not seeming so needy, just you haven't talked to them for a long time and they would be a good network person?
Okay. So do you have an example? You don't have to use a name, but somebody you wanted to, something you wanted to do with them or something?
I have to make it up an example. I just, you know, there's people that are kind of from my distant past that would probably be good people to reconnect with.
Okay.
That kind of thing. And how do you do that without looking kind of like, hey, I'm calling you just because you could help me? Kind of
okay,
what you were
so,
talking about before,
yeah,
but
yeah,
how
okay.
to connect.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So I'll tell you how I do that. So what I do is I do this a lot, but not like all the time. But if I just think of somebody that I haven't thought of in a long time, like somebody I went to college with or whatever, a lot of times I'm just curious kind of what they're up to. And now with like Facebook and everything and LinkedIn, it's really easy to find people. But even before, like if I had their email, sometimes I'll just say, hey, you know, Alan, what, you know, I've been doing this week. I'll have an email. Let me see if I can just read one out that I sent today. Okay, so today I sent one to somebody who used to work for me probably 6 years ago. And he lives in California, and he's working at Cisco now. And I think he might know some people that I'll be able to work with. And so I just said, hey, Dan, how are you? I'd love to reconnect. I'm working on a book and doing some consulting and would love to chat with you about some ideas I had. And so that's what I did with Dan. And Dan knows me, and he'll be happy to talk to me just to say what's up. And you know, you don't even have to be that explicit if you don't want to. You could just say, hey, I'm in Florida now. I'm doing these things with my art. You know, what are you up to or what's going on in your world? And people are usually so happy to hear from people that they really know from a long time ago. It's usually I get a response back, man, it's so good to hear from you. You know, I'm never the one who reaches out to people. So kind of like Ed, you said earlier, I think most people don't really stay in touch that well, so that if you do reach out to people, they're so appreciative that that they're really glad to hear from you. And whether or not it turns into anything, you kind of have to let that be. But if there's something specific that you think they might know about, just ask their advice, or you know, could you help me with this? Or I think that I've never had a bad response to that. Does that help?
Yeah, that does happen. I forgot, you know, Facebook is a way that, you know, you do start to reconnect with people on LinkedIn. I haven't really tried it in that way.
Yeah. You know, kind of what I've been doing on LinkedIn. Oh, go ahead, Rachel, go ahead.
Can you say a little bit more about, yeah, I was just going to say, can you say a little bit more about LinkedIn?
Yeah, LinkedIn is, it's really a lot like Facebook. You have a profile, you have, you know, you friend people effectively, you connect with them, and it's just more, it's more business, it's more about business. So like your profile is really your resume, usually with the companies you've worked at. And then people, when they do post stuff up there, it's more about business. So it's more, just the tone is different. But like I've been going back through and thinking about people I knew in the past that I might want to talk to. And so what I'll do a lot of times too is I'll just you can just, if you've ever worked with them or done business with them, then you can just invite them to be a partner. And usually if I do that, people get in touch. And then when they accept, I'll just shoot them a note saying, hey, what are you up to? And then when they respond back, then I'll say, hey, do you have time to talk? I'm working on this thing you might be able to help me with. Something like that.
Cool.
And usually they're just curious enough about, you know, what's going on with somebody they knew a long time ago. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the thing about Facebook is like, wow, what happened to that girl that I dated in eighth grade? You know, what did she grow up to look like? And is she married? Does she have kids or whatever? I think that's the draw. And so there's that kind of curiosity everybody has about what you're doing that's enough to, for most people to be really glad to hear from you. Because
right.
You think about in real life, I mean, we have so few authentic interactions with people. So much is virtual and related to work or whatever, and people don't have that many friends, and you don't have friends like you did a long time ago. So anything like that, people really like to hear from, in my experience. And then I'm going to go back and summarize the things we talked about so far. So one is that I don't think you have to cold call people, and I don't think you have to go to networking meetings. I think you're much better off starting with people that you know, even people you know who you think don't know anything about what you want to do. So people at your church, in your neighborhood, or who go to the swim club with you, or whatever you do. And but then be specific about what you're looking for. So when you want to network with people, have a reason. Like, I want to meet other authors because I'm thinking about doing that. Or I want to, you know, I have a business, and I have a business and I do consulting, and I've had some really good successes with people like this, and I'm looking for other people that I could tell about what I do because I think it could be helpful, something like that. And the more specific you can be and the more purposeful you can be, the easier it is for people to help you. So the easier it is for them to say, oh, I know three people who work at Bank of America. Let me hook you up with John and Ted or whatever. And then you go meet with them and you just kind of gradually hone in on whatever it is you want. So that's the one. That's 3 degrees of bacon. Not 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. And then, so then prepare was the other thing. Why are you meeting with them in particular? You know, what do you think they could help you with? What could you help them with? That's the third thing. How can you give? And going in with attitude of, I'm going to make this meeting be as much about them as it is about me, and how do I help with them? And then you can always reconnect. So just have a good meeting with somebody, send them a thank you note by email or whatever, and then just touch bases with them and let them know how things are going. But you can always come back to them. So that's the basic points that we've talked about so far. Okay, so I want to ask Ed. So Ed, now that I've said it, do you believe what I said? Does it sound good, but it wouldn't work for you? I'm curious from somebody who wants to do something different.
No, it makes a lot of sense. And let me try to get this down to something coherent pretty quickly. Like, one idea that crossed my mind while you were explaining all of this is, I was asking myself, what points of interest would I be contacting people about that are genuine points of interest?
Yeah.
And, you know, something that popped into my head is, hi, I'm working on this article on this subject. You know, I'm trying to get people's opinions. Would you like to, you know, discuss this?
Yeah.
A completely, you know, whether, as you said, whether it's a known common interest or not, to contact them to say, hey, I'd like to talk this over. And that kind of legitimizes the whole thing, and then you can take it from there.
Yeah, exactly.
I presume there are, you know, other things along those lines that here's this reason why I'm talking to you. I want to see if you're interested in this. And
yeah,
that seemed to fit my head easier than the presumption that I know somebody's interested in something. You know, we all have people that we know them pretty well and we know what they care about and don't care. But
yeah,
asking someone if they're interested in this, that you're soliciting points of view, seems like a pretty widely applicable thing.
That's right. And that's another point about what you're talking about, which is a great idea, is that people like to be seen as experts. People like to help, I think, generally. And so when you ask that question that way, you're basically saying, I think of you as someone who would know a lot about this, and I respect your opinion, and I would like to get it. And that's a great introduction. I think that's similar with when you say, I would love to find out what you've been doing for the last 5 years. I've been thinking about you. Mm-hmm. That's the same. People love to talk about themselves.
Here's the rock I hit with that one. And,
okay.
And I understand that, like, if, you know, somebody appeared from out of nowhere who I used to like, we'll make that clear. And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you know, it's like I haven't talked to you in like 8 years. It's like, what are you up to? Odds are it's like, well, here's what I've been doing. Here's kind of the summary. What have you been up to? And probably that's fine. So I like that part of it. What do we do about my problem with the implication of why haven't I heard from you in 5 years?
Yeah. Well,
you know, do I matter so little that we haven't talked in 5 years, but now you want to talk to me? What are we doing?
Well, have you,
what are we
have
doing
you, how do you, I guess, let me turn it around. How do you feel when people get in touch with you who you haven't heard from for a while?
Most of the time, it's great. There are some exceptions, but if we had a good relationship in the past, it's fine. I can't say that that happens a lot.
Right.
And I think that's the mirror image of my not seeding the communications, you know, is like if they haven't heard from me, it's far less likely that anybody I've ever known is going to suddenly get an idea to contact me. So
well, can I tell you something though? I'm one of the people who does.
On the call.
Yeah. Well, so if somebody, I'll just say, as somebody who is somebody who reaches out to people a lot, you know, I feel like that for every relationship I have, I'm always the one who talks to them. And
okay.
So what that leads me to believe is that most people just don't do that.
Okay.
And so I don't think what you're doing is normal. And I think people really appreciate, and people are really appreciative when you do take the effort to do it. And it's not because they don't care. It's just that people are just busy. Everybody's busy with their lives and everything else. And they love to keep up with you, but they just don't, it just falls off the priority list for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would just say, don't worry so much about that. Because in my experience, I don't think hardly anybody gets in touch with me, but everybody I talk to is happy to hear from me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't hold it against them. You know, I've just said that's just how it is, I think.
This is only a slight tangent. I won't make it a big departure.
No, that's okay. Your questions are great.
When this subject got raised with someone I was talking to maybe 5 or 6 years ago who had the sort of standard, you know, sales view of networking, and not a bad one, you know, she was good at what she did. But one of the things she remarked that she did was go back to her old, you know, personal phone directories and look for people she hadn't talked to in a while and deliberately find a way to contact them.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fine, you know. And she said, you know, I've called up people that I haven't spoken to in 10 years and said, hi, how are you doing? And in many cases, that had paid off for her, that they developed, you know, either renewed a personal relationship or business relationship. When I responded, and I don't do it anymore because I don't use paper directories anymore.
Yeah.
But I had a policy for years because I used paper, you know, phone directories and paper calendars. I had the closet cleaning rule, just like with your closet. If you haven't worn a piece of clothing in a year, throw it out. Okay? You're not going to wear it again. I actually had a conscious policy that when I was making a new copy of my phone directory, if I haven't spoken to anybody in a couple of years, I didn't retain their information because in my mind it was clear we don't have a relationship anymore. And the fact that I was throwing that away, you know, the look on her face was like I was telling
yeah.
her I was throwing away grandma.
Yeah, don't do that.
You know,
yeah.
here's the family heirlooms and I'm tossing them in the trash.
Yeah,
but
I did
that because to me it was house cleaning.
Yeah.
So I don't do that anymore. It was a side thing, but I just wanted to toss that out there that
a lot of that
presumable ancient information, I don't have it.
But you know, like on Facebook, I found somebody who I went to second grade with who I hadn't thought about in forever just because he was connected to somebody I know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm reconnected to him. And you can find people by – like if you worked at a big company, there are alumni networks of people who work at GE or Bank of America or whatever. There are more and more ways that you can get your brain kind of rekindled as to who those people were. And so I go to LinkedIn sometimes just to look for ideas. And I'll just either look through my contact list or I'll go to them and see who they're connected to. Or inevitably something will spark an idea for me of somebody I could contact or something else I could do.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to have like a genuine, open curiosity about people. How, if somebody is shy or reluctant, how do you, is there a way to cultivate what you have naturally, I wonder?
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. That's a good point, because that's true. I am always curious about people. But we'll try some stuff. I think that, I don't know, do you guys feel this way too? I mean, sometimes if you think about somebody, I don't know, that you knew a long time ago or that you used to work with, a lot of times I'll wonder kind of what happened to them. It's kind of like the equivalent of the where are they now on VH1 or whatever when they have a old band used to know. And so for me, there's a basic curiosity of just how did the story end or whatever. If you think about somebody's life as a story, how did that end? And you could – so that's one level, I guess, of curiosity that you could kind of resolve by talking to somebody. And then, you know, another one is to think about what they might know that's related to what you want to find out, and think about what are some things you would like to find out about that. So if Ed, you were writing an article on something and you thought there was an expert you could talk to, you know, what might they know, or what have you, if you look at their webpage or something, what's something about them that you think you could find out from them? And you might just sit down and make a conscious list of, you know, here's some topics that I'm curious about, because it was sparked by looking at what they do. I think for me, it kind of happens in real time. But
yeah, to make that one point clear, though, is the idea of contacting someone you think might be an expert in whatever you're working on is great. I had a larger point in mind, and that's deliberately soliciting opinions from people who weren't necessarily an expert, precisely because it's somebody you don't assume is connected with this, and you want to get their opinion. Like, they wouldn't have imagined you'd call them about this because they don't think of themselves as experts. But you want their opinion. And a lot of
right.
times, as a practical matter, you can get some really interesting information out of people you never suspected might have it, you know, or a different point of view, precisely because this isn't an area they're an expert in. It's not what they do all day. It's some other side interest, or it's just their personal opinion. But a lot of times, you can get some really surprising perspectives and information from unexpected sources.
Yes, so I would say that's a good example of something you're curious about, is what would this person say about this thing they have nothing about, now that I'm so close to it. I need a neutral party or whatever. So, but I think nurturing that curiosity is really good, because it keeps you, like, if you're curious, it's kind of like the, you guys know the concept of the beginner's mind, you know, when you start learning something. You don't have this, you're not bogged down by the conventions of people who really understand it until you're curious, and you might see connections that other people don't. So sometimes if you're talking to somebody who really knows something and you're coming at it from a place where you don't, you can ask some great questions and they'll remember you for doing that. And if you're doing it in a genuine way that you really do want to know, that's a great connection way to connect with people. Did that help, Rachel? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think, you know, I do have the honest curiosity, but I think the step that I get, I don't do the step that you do a lot of times and make the contact. Like, I'll wonder about somebody from, you know, my childhood or certain parts of my life, but not usually go the extra step that you do to actually make contact with them. I have recently, you know, like with Facebook and stuff, but I don't know, just like, I start to get, like, shy, you know, like,
I start
to create these stories of, you know, do they want to hear from me, you know, whatever. I'll just create all kinds of conversations with myself and then not actually go and just say hello. The other question is that my previous careers, I didn't have a whole bunch of corporate connections. What happens if I wanted to start making connections to people in fields that I previously haven't had any interaction with? Do you have any way that you might go about starting to try to connect with people in new fields?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I've done. Because a lot of times I've either changed careers or fields pretty dramatically or thought about doing it. And so I did a lot of that, what you call informational interviewing, where you're just meeting people. And a lot of times the same thing, it's like, say one time I looked into executive coaching, and at the time I was working for a technology company. It was totally different. And so I just met a guy at my church who was a psychologist, and I told him about what I was interested in. And he gave me the name of a professor at a university, and I met him. And then he told me about a meeting and took me to a conference. And so it was just a matter of finding one or two people, even tangentially related to it, who knew me and saying that I wanted to learn more about X, you know. So in that case, I guess I was coming at it more from a perspective of I'm trying to get knowledge from people who you know who might want to share it versus, you know, I want something from them. I think you do need to take it in kind of two steps. Because if you really don't know, if you don't know and you were trying to go right to selling them something or whatever, I do think that's a kind of pushing it. That's getting back to the pickup joint kind of thing. But I think if you take the time to do just a little bit of research by talking to people and then coming up with some sort of ideas about what you might bring that's of value to them, even if you're wrong, so you wanted to do training at a corporation or something, and you've never done that before, and you don't really know that. Well, maybe you start talking to somebody who works in HR that you know, or that one of us knows, or something like that. Just ask somebody that you know, and then you have a conversation with them and say, "Hey, I did this kind of work, and I wanted to know if corporations hire these kind of people, or would that work? And these are the kind of seminars I do." You know, if you've just taken the effort to bring a kind of proposal almost, or even if it's just like an idea, that gives people a way to give you feedback that's easy for them to say, "Oh yeah, that's good," or "We don't really do that." But to contrast that with going in and going, "Hey, I think I might want to work with corporations. Can you tell me what you would want?" You know, that's a lot harder.
Right. Kind of like,
Hi, this is Jennifer. I came in late, but
hey, Jennifer.
One thing that's worked for me, I've started getting into more creative things lately, you know, painting and pottery and so on. And it's been 40 years since I've done anything like that, so I have no connections. But on Twitter, there are a lot of professionals that do that or people that make their living that way. And you can do searches on a keyword or a phrase that interests you and then find people that do it. Look at their websites, follow them. They're usually flattered if you follow them. And their websites are just full of information. And most of the people I found, writers, gardeners, artists, whatever interest I have, there are people out there that are tickled pink to share their information with you. And they love to have conversations about it.
Yeah.
And it's a non-threatening kind of way, you know.
Right.
I mean, you're not in their face. You're not asking a favor. You're saying, "I like what you do." Yeah.
I think that's a good point too, Jennifer. I think people who are teachers, people who are who take the effort to tweet or blog about a topic are the kind of people who are really passionate about it, or they wouldn't do it, and that those people like to talk about what they do. So those are safe places to start too, and probably people who are really well connected just by the nature of what they do. And like Jennifer says, you can do it by email or Twitter. You don't have to call them to do it.
Right,
sometimes
and if you find a person that's a really good resource, you can look at who they follow and, you know, spend an hour or so looking at that, and there's a whole ton more people that are connected to this very well-connected person, you know, or this very knowledgeable person. And you can find all kinds of information. You can spend a day on there like that, traveling down different roads.
Cool.
Hey, let's talk about, so what are some other, like, let's just brainstorm some situations that y'all might have where you want to network, and maybe we could do some case studies, think about how to do it.
I've got one for you
that
causes me to cringe. A lot of times I know that it's good business, and in the past I've done this with gritted teeth, to go to associations or membership places or, you know, conferences or clubs or whatever that are in the field that I'm in. And I know that I should network. I know I should meet people. I know I should talk to them afterwards. I know I should make friends and let them get to know me and trust me and gradually, you know, become part of the group, and then, you know, hopefully some business will follow. I find that extremely difficult. Now, for you, you probably have a different mindset when you go in, But for some of us, there's a hesitancy to be a nuisance or to be seen as pushy. I'd love to know what goes on in your head when you enter a new environment like that.
Well, you missed my crash and burn story from the very beginning.
I'm sorry.
I was trying to talk to Jeff and Gamer. I just think those are a terrible way to network, generally. You know,
really?
The only good thing is if, like, over time, if you are somebody who is involved in an organization that you care about because you care about it, and you get involved, especially if you get involved in the leadership or you do projects with people there, I think that's a good way to meet people, but it's really inefficient. It's really inefficient. It takes a lot of time, and you really got to care. And so what I was saying is my thing is to have a clear picture in your head of why you want to network, to have a purpose for it beyond just like dig your well before you dry. I just think it's stupid. Everybody's too busy to just do networking for networking's sake unless you just like doing it, I guess. But
Alan?
Yeah.
I think this is a very important point. And if you could work on that some more, that would be great, because this is the core, I think, of why the standard view of networking doesn't work for me, never has, and doesn't work for a lot of people. What you just described is doing something you don't want to do for a long time because you think there might be some personal payoff later.
Yeah.
Okay, and that just has always felt completely wrong to me. It's one thing to join an association or some kind of a group because the group's about something that you like.
Yeah.
Okay. And do that because you like it, and naturally you're going to meet other people who like what you like, and you'll really, you know, enjoy the company of certain particular people very strongly, and they'll become friends just naturally. But the standard model, you know, advises go out and basically do a whole bunch of things you don't actually care about, which I think is where most people's resistance comes from.
Sure.
Just standing around saying, I'm faking this, and I'm, you know, hi, I want to talk to you, and I'm a fake in the hope that I'll get some benefit down the road. And that just feels wrong to a lot of people, and I'm one of those people. So, but the distinction of go ahead and become involved with people who are actually doing something you really care about and enjoy seems very, very different.
Yeah, different motivation and everything, you know. And I've found that people who do, like, the kind of networking you read about and go to these meetings and everything, I don't like those people very much. And if they're not being genuine, you pick up on it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do know some people who are, like, super networked and are very helpful and, you know, they're always connecting people, and that's why they have these huge networks, because they just like doing that, you know. But I think that's the exception. And I think most people – you know, networking is something you do when you need to do it, and but it's too much. It's a lot of work to do that unless it's part of your marketing strategy or something for your business. I don't think you need to, and so it's much better to focus on relationships you already have, and then use that trust that you have with them and let them transfer that to other people, and just follow that path to get to what you need. And you're close. You're always really close, and closer than you think to people who can really help you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's another scenario? That was a great one, Jennifer.
Well, okay, here's one for you. I saw a seminar once where this guy said that he was a person that presented seminars, and he would stand at the door and shake hands with everyone who came in the door, everyone that was going to attend. And this was his way of getting them on his side. And that he would look at each person's eyes for a second or two, note the color of their eyes, and think in his mind, this could be my new best friend, or what a wonderful person. And I thought, does that really work?
That just sounds stupid. That sounds really stupid.
Well, I thought, he's probably coming across really enthusiastic if he's doing this, you know, staring in your eyes and thinking, you're wonderful.
Are you the doorman? Are you the computer? Yeah.
Yeah, just like, this sounds like bad dating, you know, practices.
Oh, okay.
Or like, how to pick up a woman.
Thinking, well, if it works for him, that's great, but I just would, feel phony.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, and it just, you know, I think those things get propagated by the people who run the groups and put on conventions and stuff. That's the way you're supposed to do it. Because then people come because they think they have to. I'm not sure that it – because, you know, the people who are good networkers, like the people who run businesses that are totally never attend. They don't go to those things. They just know people through other things they're involved with, or they get introduced. That's not how real people who are really successful at doing this do it. So that's another reason not to do it, is that I don't know if it hasn't worked for me, and I don't see the people who really are successful at it doing it that way.
You know, I'm kind of situationally shy. Like, if I go to, like, cocktail parties or things like that, like, well, one, I don't drink, and two, I just tend to get a little bit shy. But I've gotten over that by, like, and maybe this can apply to this networking kind of thing, is I always look for the person that looks more uncomfortable than me,
yeah,
and I talk to them. I always just, like, I just said, well, they need help more than me. No, I mean, I just figured I can help them feel comfortable. So that gives me a purpose for being there then, so I can, like, talk to them and help them feel comfortable. And that helping part of me, you know, rushes to, you know, interact, and then I feel more comfortable. That person feels more comfortable, and then I'm kind of in the mix.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah, I get that.
That helps with, you know, those kind of networking social events, at least for me.
See, the problem with that, though, is, like, if you're there to for a purpose or whatever, and you want to get to the right contacts or whatever, what if they're not people, you know? And so you feel better,
right.
But it's not effective as a marketing tool. I mean, it's a good strategy for
to get
yourself
the mix,
comfortable,
but I can't,
group,
like,
for sure.
Well, maybe then I have an ally, and I can tell them, listen, I need to go talk to that person over there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's
how
true.
We do it?
But I don't know. Let's talk about how you could talk to people. So I'm kind of shooting down all the traditional ways. So, Jennifer, maybe what's the situation where you would want to meet people? What would be the reason that you're trying to meet these people?
Well, you know, there's the old life and there's the new life. And the old one for business, you know, I'd want people to be aware of what I did and, you know, perhaps use me for, you know, training in the future. The new life is more like what you're talking about, being genuine. Now that I'm retired, I'm looking for people with similar interests. So that makes it easier now. But in the old days, I mean, I'd go to an association where there are a lot of decision makers who might possibly hire me. And I thought, well, they don't know me from Adam. This is a chance for them to get to know me. But
right.
It was very difficult to approach them. And, you know, they tend to have their little cliques, and you don't want to intrude. And, you know, unless you're doing a presentation and they're sitting in the audience, I found it very difficult to go up to a strange person. And even if you introduce yourself, you don't know if they'll ever remember you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some other ways you could do that. Then, if you wanted it, the goal was to meet these people and have them know who you are. What's another way to do that?
Well, I always went through back doors. I'd either write an article or I would present so that I would be seen as an expert and they'd want to come to me rather than me having to come to them. I always found it easier if they were attracted to some, you know, expertise rather than for me to come begging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a great strategy. Yeah.
Fly fishing is less work than spear fishing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Hey, Alan, how would you go about, like, if you wanted to meet a celebrity or some author or some person that you really admired that you didn't have any connection to? Because I know you've done it. How would you? I'd love to hear your steps and how you kind of worked your way to getting to talk to somebody that was of celebrity-like status.
Okay. Okay, there's one person. I'll tell you a failure I had, and then I'll tell you maybe a success. So I'll start with the one that – well, let me start with something that worked. So there was this guy who I talk about who's on my website who I love his story. His name is Dave Chilton, and he wrote a book about personal finance that was real popular in the 1990s. And I had a good reason to call him, and the reason was that I had looked at his bio and seen that he had done something that I thought was kind of strange afterwards. And so I just wrote him a really nice note, and I said – I just contacted him directly, and I said, you know, I am working on this website where I share people's stories about how their lives have changed, and I really got a lot out of your book, which was true. You know, he taught me some stuff that really changed our financial lives early in our marriage. And so I shared my gratitude with him for that. And then I said, could I talk to you sometime? I would like to find out more about what you did. And if you do that, you just kind of throw it out there because you don't know. I mean, that's the other thing. It's, you know, sometimes you can't get to people. But I more often than not, if I write a note like that, they'll send me an email back at least. And then, you know, depending on what you want to do, they'll work out a time. So that's one approach. The other approach I used was I really want to interview Tim Gunn, the guy from Project Runway. And he's just gotten so big over the last few years that I've had a hard time. But so I never really knew how to do that. And I tried to go through Liz Claiborne and basically cold call in there. And I got to a couple people. And that's just cold calling, and it doesn't work so well. But what I did was I on LinkedIn, it shows you how you're connected to people. And it just turned out that a friend of a friend of mine in New York had worked for the production company on Project Runway. So I asked my friend to ask her if I could find out who his agent was or who his PR people was. I figured I'd ask him for an interview with him. And so they connected me to William Morris, who was his agency, and they gave me the name of his PR company. And I got to the assistant of his PR person, and I gave my story and my pitch about what I wanted to do. And she talked to me, and we went back and forth, and it just the timing wasn't good for him. He was too busy taping the show or whatever. But that's another way. Is just that's more of my normal way of doing it. Is like, who do I know? Who do they know? You know, who do they know? And I try to think of, you know, with my friend, it was pretty easy. It was kind of like, man, I've got this fluky idea that I want to talk to Tim Gunn, and I saw it was on LinkedIn. I'm just trying LinkedIn. Would you mind? Let's just see if this works. Low pressure on him. Can you do this for me? So he was willing to do it, and he did it, you know? So, and there's other people with their job to filter out people like me, so I didn't feel too bad about that.
Okay.
Does that help?
That's cool. Yeah, and it helps break it down, like especially, you know, just like the letter that you wrote for the other person was, you know, this genuine how you know, that you got a lot from what they read, from what they wrote. And here's what specifics, you know, happened in your life from reading their work, and then you'd like to, and then kind of saying how you'd like to communicate with them.
Yeah, I always start with that. Yeah, from a real.
Yeah,
and I just try to, when I'm writing that email in my head, I consciously think about, you know, what I got from whatever that person did, or if I read a book. Sometimes now that I am writing a book and I know that it can be kind of lonely, I will write notes to authors whose books I read because I don't think they ever hear from anybody. And I always,
right.
Most of the time I get a note back going, God, I appreciate it so much that you told me what you got from the
book.
Yeah,
authors do tend to be, maybe because they're word people, I've noticed they tend to be very receptive to communication, where other people I haven't had as much luck, but I haven't really known how to approach them either.
Yeah, and I think some of it is trying different. I mean, you have to think about why would they want to talk to you. That's part of it, you know.
Right.
And what's the sort of legitimate reason you have? And it doesn't have to be that anything that big. It could be that you interview them, or you want to learn something from them, or it can be any of those things, because those are all valid. But you have to have some reason that
right.
would make sense to them, other than just. Nothing.
Do either of you guys follow Stephen Fry?
Yeah.
He had a wonderful article on his website about how he wished people would approach him when they recognized him and they came up to him. And it sounded like 99.9% would come up and say, gee, I know you must get these questions every day or people must bother you all the time. And he hated hearing that, and it just kind of made the hairs on the back of his neck crawl.
Yeah.
But he wished people would come up and treat him as though they were equals. Like, hi, nice to see you. Oh, hey, loved your movie. And, you know, just very simple, sincere, like you said, thing, and then go on. Don't sit there and, you know, grovel and be, you know.
Right. Right, because you don't really know.
People bother you a day, and you're another one. Yeah, but it was very instructive, because I never could imagine what it'd be like to be from that point of view. But yeah, he shared. I'm sure the article's still out there. And you know, as a famous person who's easily recognizable and probably gets approached, you know, a day. I thought it was really good. He put that out there.
So Jennifer, I actually met Stephen Fry at an airport.
I remember
I
seeing that,
people.
And then he followed you back on Twitter, and
right.
I was so jealous.
Yeah, and what I did when I saw him, and what I do, I remember faces really well, so I see famous people all the time. And
yeah.
What I usually do is I just go up to him and say, you know, you know, I love your work, or I'm a huge fan, or I love that book you wrote or that movie you were in, and I just wanted to say hi or something. And what Stephen Fry did was he was just like this kindest English gentleman back, you know, he said, that's so kind, you know. And I just asked him, I said, would you mind signing an autograph for me? I even did that with him. I don't usually do that. And he did. And then I said, you know, where are you headed today or something? And he said, oh, I'm going to New York. I'm working on a movie. And, you know, I'm going to see some friends for the weekend. And he asked me where I was going. I was on a business trip or whatever. And I just said, hey, well, it was great to meet you. You know, have a great day. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was totally fine. And most people are, you know, just got to be cool. You don't want to be all gaga with them.
Yeah, yeah. I saw someone approach Lindsay Wagner at an airport once, and you could just tell she was squirming and wanted to get away. She was kind, but she was uncomfortable, and the person just wouldn't leave. And you know, that's our worst nightmare, the people that don't approach them, is that we wouldn't want that to happen. Yeah, we wouldn't want to make someone uncomfortable.
Yeah, you just have to be low-key and just appreciative and just let it just quick, you know, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, well, so what was helpful of what I told you, and what parts that you still need some more information on? So I'll think about.
I just think that you change kind of the perspective of the whole connecting with people, kind of more of, you seem to see it as an adventure and a curiosity and exciting, not like kind of this gold digging kind of thing or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I think you can change, you can work on that, I think. You can think about it that way before you do it. I mean, it won't make you a different personality or whatever, but I do think it helps. And especially if you do a little bit of preparation work and you really have consciously written down a few things, I think that goes a long way. Because
I think my nature is naturally curious, and I do like people. I think I get hung up on worried that I'm going to be bugging them. So
I think
some of the perspective that you shared helps me think, well, there's ways of doing that I, you know, I give them space without, you know, I don't have to feel like I'm bugging somebody.
Yeah, and you can give them, another thing is just to ask permission, you know, and then give them an out. Like if they don't want to engage or they need to leave or whatever, just let them go, you know, and
mm-hmm.
don't put any preconceived outcomes on the meeting. Just let it be whatever it is, and just try to be in the moment with those people, and what will happen, and then if you remember something later that can help you with, you can always follow back up, and then they know you. I've done that too.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're generous too. I hear that too, which I really like. That you're in your communication, your contact and stuff, you're generous. Like if you think that there's something that will help them, you're more than generous, more than ready to offer them some something.
Yeah, and if you do that, you're, like, different than, like, 99% of most people, too. And so
mm-hmm.
you tend to remember that.
True. Mm-hmm. Good points.
All right, well, I hope this was helpful for you guys.
Yeah, I think your energy comes across and your genuineness, Alan, and I think that's one thing that people appreciate and respect is they know you really do get a kick out of meeting them, and that probably helps a lot, too.
Yeah, yeah. But I always go through, I try so hard to borrow other people's connections with people instead of just trying to start something cold. I called a guy yesterday who I sort of knew from somewhere, and it didn't go as well, you know? And there's just something about having somebody they trust introduce you that it goes a long way towards.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ancient pattern.
Yeah. Business kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good advice.
So, any other questions? Ed, do you feel like you got some help that was useful?
At the moment, I'm not sure if I'm on mute. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, good. Yes, I did, and I'm curious as to whether you're going to be doing future sessions like this.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing – yes, I will. I don't have anything scheduled right now,
okay.
But if there's something you're interested, let me know. I'm happy to get the feedback.
I'll send you rather than try to raise it here. I'll send you an email with some other ideas
that
occurred to me while you've been talking.
Okay, great, awesome, appreciate
great.
It. So you're helping me now. that's good. So I got
thank you for doing this. This was very generous of you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, No worries. Okay, cool. Well, if you guys think of something, you should all email me. Feel free to email. I know you all now. and you can, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm Alan Bacon, and I think I'm Alan.Bacon on Facebook. So if you want to friend me and add me to your networks, I'm happy to do that too. If you want to practice
doing that. Good.
Yeah, cool. All right. Thanks for coming, y'all.
Thanks, Alan.
Great. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.